A determined young seeker of truth had searched the world over for the meaning of life. He visited sages in many lands to hear their wisdom, yet he remained unsatisfied. One day he heard of a hermit who lived in the remotest part of the Himalayas, a divine who possessed the secret of life's meaning. Through gale, tempest, and biting cold, the seeker trudged to the sage's hut to find him kneeling in prayer. Barely containing his zeal, he blurted out, "Good master, please tell me, what is the meaning of life?" The sage slowly opened his eyes and, gazing at the young seeker, gently replied, "One size fits all." One size fits all. The meaning of life. What is life's meaning for you? What's most important to you sitting here in this lovely Sunday morning? Your child or grandchildren? Spouse? Health? Home? Job? Mutual funds? Some can name it. For others, it's vague and we struggle hard to see. But deep down inside, in that place of us that nothing but God's love can reach, we all sense there's something. Something bigger than us, something more important than us, something that gives meaning and purpose to it all. For Jesus, God's kingdom or reign is that something. You've maybe heard the expression, "the ground on which I stand." Well, God's kingdom, God's realm, was Jesus' ground, his terra firma, the base upon which he lived and loved and measured social rightness. It was and is God's will for creation, and this awareness seems to have come clear to him after his baptism, when alone in the desert, at around age 30 or so. From then onwards, Matthew's gospel tells us, this reign of God — I prefer the word reign than kingdom, they mean the same thing, but we'll get into that — the reign of God was Jesus's single focus. In his inaugural address at the Nazareth synagogue, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord has anointed me to bring good news." And that good news was of God's reign, where the poor are made whole, the blind receive sight, and the oppressed gain their freedom. His teachings and his parables were all about this promise made by God, as was his Sermon on the Mount. In other words, it was the essence of Jesus' life and the essence of our faith. In a way, it's unfortunate Jesus called it kingdom in Aramaic, because the English word kingdom is so intertwined with politics, right? You think of all the tabloids, the paparazzi, all the junk, the array that goes with kingdoms and empires. Kings can be selfish, and kings can be evil, and enough have been to make the term kingdom of God seem almost an oxymoron. Today, in our growing awareness of colonialism and the evils of colonization, the evils both have perpetrated on indigenous peoples. It's understandable the term might seem inappropriate to divinity, to anything connected with God, but it's not. Because you see, and I will never say anything more important than this, no matter how long I preach, this kingdom is a person. A person, not a structure, not a bureaucracy, but a love Jesus knew and addressed as Abba. God's kingdom is the embodiment, the literal embodiment of love, who even now, in this very moment we're sitting here, breaks into this broken world whenever we love like God, as much as we humans can. Even now this is so, though God's kingdom is both now and not yet. There's a tension there. Now, not fully. The kingdom or the realm of God is relationship, pure and simple. It is relationship because God is the very essence of relationship itself. God equals relationship. The kingdom, the realm of God, is a new age. The sort of thing that Stacy and his colleagues are trying so hard to help individuals come to know and experience. It's a new age, a new social order, a creation that is not marred by control or greed or violence. It's not a political, not an economic or philosophical system. It's not a theory to be proven or a power to be imposed. This new state of being is relationship made right. Relationship made right. If you take notes, those are the three things you should write. It's a sacred world, this reign, where all are one in communion of holy love, where freedom, where dignity and opportunity are reciprocal, and all enjoy the fullness of life. That one size fits all. Relationship, connectedness, is the very core of Jesus's message. I am the vine, he affirms. You are the branches. Abide in me as I abide in you. And whether you've been told this or not, and I suspect a lot of us not, relationship is the goal of any faithful religion. The word religion stands for the very thing that it too often fails to inspire. From the Latin religio, re, re, meaning again, and ligios, connection, like ligaments. Religion, by definition, means to bring together. A deep and life-giving connection with the universe, with creation, with one another, with ourselves, and with God. In God's loving reign, creation thrives, unlike anything we've seen or can even imagine, and earth is heaven. A reality that Jesus tells his followers is even now in their midst. And that announcement, the kingdom of God is among you, must have puzzled his followers. Long oppressed by the sharp sword of the Roman Empire. Like the world indigenous peoples experience, Jesus's world was a colonized place, where power corrupted and life was cheap and dirty. Colonialism and its deadly process, colonization. The world Jesus knew and the hell still constraining First Nations and other indigenous peoples. It is the very antithesis of relationship. Though we clamor over doctrines and rituals and impose our ways upon others, the Christ of creation wants to give us God's self, God's very self, and make us whole. The world has been and is being devastated by Christian brand colonialism. Whenever we try to force ourselves on others, and God knows, and that's prayerfully said, God does know, the results have been catastrophic, demonic. And we Anglicans sit squarely in the judicial dock of all defendants. Because you see, this evil is systemic. And we are all co-defendants. Abba's freeing love is the alternative to Caesar's grasp, the other way that Jesus termed good news. It's a whole new way of looking at things, a new way of looking at things, a transformed awareness that itself transforms creation. It's good news that brings healing, hope, opportunity, and joy. And Jesus bursts upon his disheartened, colonized nation, crying, "The time has come now. Rethink everything, everything. A radically new kind of kingdom has arrived, so open your minds and open your hearts to see things in this fresh new way. Follow me," he says, "follow my words and enter into this new way of living." Brian McLaren, one of my favorite writers, in his book, The Secret Message of Jesus, Uncovering the Truth That Could Change Everything, describes it like this. Jesus forms a movement. Now note, he didn't say system or organization or even church. Jesus forms a movement of people who trust him and believe his message. They believe, he goes on to say, that they don't have to wait for this or that to happen, but rather that they can begin living in a brand new and better way right now. A way of life Jesus conveys by the pregnant phrase, kingdom of God. McLaren goes on to write, life for them is now about an interactive relationship, reconciled to God, reconciled to one another, and so they're able to see their entire lives as an opportunity to make the beautiful music of God's kingdom, so that more and more people will be drawn into it, and so the world will be changed by their growing influence. Mind you, it's nearly impossible to turn away from what seems to be the only game in town, be it political, economic, religious, etc., if we haven't first glimpsed a better way. We need to see somebody else do it first. And Jesus is that model, that icon of how you and I and all humankind, all of us, are to live and to let live. Unlike the impositions of colonialism, We have to choose this path for ourselves and allow others to do the same, or not. The world, as we know it, runs on power. Just listen to CNN if you want to become totally dismayed. It runs on power, it runs on greed, it runs on violence. The life Jesus shows runs on, you got it, love. You were going to say that. It is a love that is expressed in right relationship and equal reciprocal power, that one size fits all. The world we know operates by muscle and domination. But Jesus shows us these traits to find Caesar, not the life we are called to live. Last Sunday's recessional hymn was glorious. I didn't know who to thank, so I'll thank the rector. It's probably, thank you, David. The kingdom of God, we sang lustily, is justice and joy, mercy and grace, challenge and choice, gift and goal. This beautiful music is around us, and it is within you and me and all of us and all of creation. Listen and join in. Amen.